You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Welcome to another episode of Get It Right Texoma with the Texoma Trio. I'm Mike Hendren. This is Terry McAdams. That's Trey Sorala on the end over there. And, well, for those of you that are listening on just the audio podcast, envision where we are. Our left to your right, whatever. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, you get the idea. Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Good.
Good morning.
I like your shirt.
You like this?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it got pink or is it just a pink?
It has a pinkish hue in it. Yes, it does.
Pinkish hue.
Yes, it does.
It's
like
the 80s.
Wow.
It does. It's a...
It's the thing.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's a contemporary cinch shirt, actually.
Right. So, there was a whole Seinfeld episode about somebody's lips having a pinkish hue to them.
Oh. Okay, Hugh Hefner?
Yeah, no.
No, okay.
Stop!
Okay.
Stop!
Okay.
We're recording from the MacTech Solutions studio, by the way.
Yes, we are. MacTech Solutions is has a proper way to say it. Apple authorized reseller.
And service provider.
Fully
Apple authorized. Like an Apple store just not owned by Apple.
Yes, not owned. Yes, yes.
Yeah, they don't have a bunch of dopey teenagers running around here going, hey, can I help you? Can I put you in a virtual line? By the way, have you ever heard that crap? I went somewhere one time. I think it was a Verizon store. And they asked me if they could put me in the virtual line. And I said, are you going to virtually put me in it? What the hell's a virtual
what
line?
What is that? Exactly.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
You were in the queue.
I have no idea.
Yeah, but they put in the queue, not the virtual line.
They had to sound cool or sound techie
stupid
or something. They tried.
It sounds like some corporate bullshit that somebody from Apple Verizon. Said, you have to say this. It's kind of like the disingenuous. Have you guys ever walked into like a store that you can tell that the manager has demanded that they greet every customer?
Oh.
And it's so they're screaming from across the room, welcome to Circle K. Welcome to Circle K. Circle K used to do that. I don't think they do anymore. And you'd have somebody who was damn near stocking drinks in the back, and they just scream out because the door goes ding dong. Welcome to Circle K. Oh yeah, thanks a lot.
I'll call out Firehouse Subs. Sorry, guys. Firehouse Subs. Welcome to Firehouse Subs. All of them in unison.
Yeah, it's so disingenuous. Yeah. If you want to greet somebody, greet them when they get somewhere in your orbit.
Yes.
And give it an honest greeting. Hey, thanks for coming in. Well, welcome to
we say it here. Hey, not every single time.
No, of course
but
not.
Where it's like, hey, welcome to MacTech Solutions. How you doing? What can we do for you?
People tend to not understand the laid back nature and the more relaxed atmosphere of some places versus others.
Oh, yeah.
In some places, that whole, screaming the greeting from the other end of the store at you to every single customer, maybe that plays well. Here, we just look at it and go, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. Well, basically, what they might as well say is, hey, my boss said I had to say this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. It's
corporate.
It's not genuine.
It's nothing genuine about, hey. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate your business and all that.
I love Chick-fil-A as much as anybody else. I really do. I absolutely love God's chicken. I really do. It's great stuff.
Chicken for Jesus.
But for crying out loud, you are the only people on planet Earth that still use the word beverage. It's a drink, folks.
Beverage? Is that what they're...
Yeah, can I refresh your beverage? It's a drink.
In this part of the world, it's a Coke.
It
doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. What kind of Coke you want? Sweet tea. Thank you. Okay, here we go. I mean, seriously, that's how we talk here.
Yeah, the only time you hear beverage is with regard to alcoholic beverages as far as some sort of license.
I don't know what their opposition to the word, just saying the word, hey, can I refill your drink? What is your opposition to that?
Well,
I don't get that. It's in it. Well, and I'm sure it goes back to the beginnings of the company.
I'm sure it does. Yeah. Well, their training is, because their training is top notch.
Oh, it is. It is.
But if you think about the word Coke, or soft drink. Soft drink is word soda. It depends on what part of the country you're in.
Pop.
If you're from the north.
Yeah. It's pop.
Yeah. You want a pop.
Yep.
Yeah. Sounds like somebody's going to hit you in the mouth or something.
Well, I don't know what I say. I don't say soda. Say pop, I think. Do you want it, or a Coke? Hey, what kind of Coke you want?
Coke
or Dr. Pepper in
or
Texas?
A fountain drink.
So, anyway, you're here. We're here at MacTech Solutions.
Yeah, MacTech Solutions, by the way, is located at 4020 Ray Road in Wichita Falls, Texas, in what is known as Finishing Touch Plaza.
called that because there used to be a store called Finishing Touch on the other end of this plaza.
Stuck.
It's stuck. The Finishing Touch is gone now, but the Finishing Touch Plaza still exists.
Think about it. Let's start a petition to rename it Mac Tech Solutions Plaza.
I think we should. I think we should. Mac Tech Plaza.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm all for it.
I mean, Terry, if you just buy all the buildings, I guess you can name it whatever you want.
Yeah, I guess. But I'm going to have a little competition with Warriors Way because, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to have competition with them.
No offense, Terry,
but I don't think you and your staff are going to be able to take the MMA gym that are just down the road there.
That could be tough. That could be tough.
Well, cool. So anyway, yeah, so well, stop by if you want to, you know.
So where do we start today here? We got so much on the plate here we can talk
about.
And
this is what day?
It is, well, today. Today's the last day of February. It's February the 29th.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a leap year.
So in four more years, we'll have another one of these.
Yes.
One more, yeah. So when this comes up, you know, if you like, if you see this shared on Facebook, it'll come up in your timeline in 4 years.
Yep.
That's what it'll come
there
up.
There you go. We're going to start doing that. We're not going to drop it on the 29th.
No.
So there's going to be a little bit of a delay, but we're going to timestamp these for context.
Yes.
Because we do talk about current events, and one of the things we don't want to do is talk about a current event. Mm-hmm. And it's like we record something, and then scheduled to be dropped, and then that night war breaks out. We're down here. We don't talk anything. Yeah. So you understand the context of what we're talking in the context of the time that we were recording this.
Yes.
Last week I mentioned our friend Artie McGruff and Artie Woods. Artie Woods. Good Lord. Well, you know, they've been together for so long.
Where does
one begin and the other end, really? Artie hasn't seen his right arm in 45 years. I mean, come on. I was going to say,
if you're McGruff the dog and you've walked around with a guy with his hands shoved up your butt for 45 years, you are intimately acquainted.
You are acquainted. Artie Woods and McGruff, his 40th annual car show. This is coming up very soon, March the 9th. So not this weekend, but next week. Saturday, March the 9th from 8 to 1 at Lone Star Muscle Cars. And Artie has, even after local law enforcement had kind of abandoned the McGruff program, Artie kept it going.
Yes.
And has done so through private donations, private fundraising for many, many years now. And, you know, he's well into his fourth decade doing this.
Right.
Actually, really his fifth decade doing this. But this is his 40th annual car show. Coming up again Saturday, March the 9th at Lone Star Muscle Cars, and that's located 7592 Seymour Highway here in Wichita Falls. So if you want to find out more about it, if you go to Facebook and just look up Artie Woods or Artie Woods and McGruff, you'll find his Facebook page.
Yeah.
And he's got all the information there. And maybe Artie joins us in the studio in the next few days for this. We'll see.
McGruff has to be there. I will be on protest if he doesn't come.
All right. The Red River Wine and Beer Festival, the Jess Bridwell, coming up March 23rd from,
March 23rd.
March 23rd. Okay, what time to?
It goes until 10 o'clock.
It goes until 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
show up at some point.
your tickets will tell you. I believe it's 6 to 10.
Show up, ready to drink.
I believe that's correct.
Just show up, ready to drink.
Yeah.
$40 a ticket. You can get them from any senior, junior, forum member or at Cox Liquor on Kemp.
That's shocking. You can actually buy them for the liquor store, right?
It kind of is.
Yes. This is actually a pretty neat. Pretty neat thing. I mean,
that's cool.
If you go to this, I don't even drink, but I like going to stuff like this. Am I right on the time?
I'm looking at six to ten.
Yep. 6 to 10. He was correct.
So anyhow, I cut it off. It's my fault. I actually screwed Mike up because I didn't have the paper right. But this is one of those events that there's so many people you know that you go to.
Yeah.
You'll see so many people walking around, and it's a really good time. Even if you're not a drinker, it's fun to go and just be a driver. I mean, that's kind of my job. I go. I'm a designated driver for somebody, and we need them. You don't want to go get schnockered and get behind the wheel. So if you don't drink and you want to, or if you don't drink or if you're not going to drink that night, go drive for somebody.
Yep.
And I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, they might make some extra money. You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, drunks are easy to fleece.
That'll be $75.
Yeah.
Will and drill like four blocks.
Yeah. You told me it was 20. No, I didn't. You signed. I definitely said 70.
Oh my gosh. All right. The Chamber of Commerce is doing their Defining Our Culture event coming up April the 10th and 11th. This is a really important thing, I think, because the Chamber, I feel like the Wichita Falls Chamber in the last few years has taken a much more active role in promoting the city overall, not just trying to attract new business, but really trying to promote the city,
right,
and really trying to help develop and grow the community. And, you know, this kind of dovetails into something else. I was reading a story a couple days ago talking about how we're going to need new housing in Wichita Falls. And we talked when we had some of you by now will have already seen it, but we had an interview with Wichita Falls Mayor Tim Short recently. And we hit on this a little bit about the city's code enforcement and building inspection and all that, and their relationship with the builders and the community and business owners, et cetera. And this the context of this was there was a meeting between some developers and the city to talk about the processes that we go through in the permitting process, the inspection processes, and all the things that we go through in trying to get things built here. And we talked about this story was about the need for new housing in Wichita Falls. We're going to have to build more homes here as we start to grow. And the context of it is if even half the projects that the Chamber is campaigning for, if even half of those projects come to fruition and those businesses do come here, we're going to be bringing new people to our city,
right,
that are going to need housing. And a lot of them are going to want to buy a home.
They're not new people. They're used people. They're older people, but they'll be new to Wichita Falls.
Well, that's right. Yes, we didn't just
they're get not bring a bunch babies. Of babies.
We didn't just get them off the manufacturing line. No, but we're going to have these people come into our city. They're going to need to buy a home, and we're not going to have enough homes for them.
Right.
So we need to streamline some of the processes to make it easier to get things built. And they're not. I think the city officials seem to be hung up on this idea that, oh, you want us to cut our standards. You want us to relax our standards. No, we want you to clarify the standards. Yeah. We want to know definitively. And when different inspectors show up on a job site, you don't get three or four or five different opinions on something. Everybody's working off the same page, off the same rule book. There's consistency. And I think that's the word I didn't see in the story, but that's the word I would throw into it, is consistency.
Right.
That's where I think we have a failing. That's where there's a disconnect, if you will, is a lack of consistency across the board. When you talk to Inspector A, B, C, or D, or Department A, B, C, or D, and there's no consistency in the discussion or in the application of rules and ordinances and whatnot. That's where I think things are kind of fall apart, is a lack of consistency.
You know what, just thinking about this, you know what would be interesting to see, and I don't know that they could do this, and I'm not going to suggest they can do this because I don't know logistically what their thing is.
Right.
But you almost would want to see, and I don't know if it would take a couple of more positions or not, but you'd almost want to see like an inspector coordinator that would be like the first line, and obviously they're not going to be the licensed plumber, the licensed electrician, so they can't do the final inspections on that, but an inspector coordinator to where, okay, when you are going to build something, you're assigned an inspector coordinator. That inspector coordinator's job is to go in and do and they can learn. I mean, it's pretty easy to learn the basics. I mean, you know, the basic stuff, you know, they learn the basics of you have to have this, 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 and this, and then they're the ones who actually send out the plumbing inspector and the electrical inspector and all that, and they report back to them so that they can get it all together and say, okay, you need to do this, this, and this, and basically create a punch list.
Yeah, I agree. I think
you see
that
what I'm saying?
Yes, I do, and I think that would help to create the consistency.
Yeah,
that would help to if you can better define and refine all of the processes, then we can smooth out of a lot of the rough edges here. And the mayor, we talked a little bit about the communication issues, about better communication. Yes, better communication, because for so long, it feels like there has been none. I think that what city government, where there has been a lack of understanding on the part of city government, is how the public, how the people, and in particular business owners, developers, builders, et cetera, perceive the city's role and the city's motivations. You know, a lot of citizens out here feel like all the city cares about is, did we collect another fee? Did we collect another? Another fee on another permit or whatever?
Right. And what you need to understand, though, because I'm gonna work the other side of this one. I agree. There's sometimes a perception, but you have to understand as well. Those people don't get paid on commission.
No, they don't.
So them collecting another fee for you for the city doesn't mean a hill of beans to them. So that's not their motivation.
Right.
Their motivation is to make sure they do their job. And they do a thorough job as defined by the laws and ordinances by the city and by the state and by the country. You know, you have universal building codes and you have the state of Texas building codes, and then you have your local ordinances and that sort of thing. Right. And I believe those people are trying to do their job in a proper way.
Yeah.
The problem is, once again, sometimes the coordination issue is the issue. And I really think that they think that something along those lines would solve some of that issue, because you would have basically a customer service position. You know, somebody who's a licensed electrician or a licensed plumber and they go to work as a city, they're not necessarily customer service people.
Right.
They may be really good at what they do, but that may not be their forte. And so sometimes if you have a customer service oriented person, for instance, in not only in my business, but in the automotive business, it's the same way. When you go take your vehicle to a dealership, you don't go talk to the mechanic. You don't walk in there and the mechanic doesn't come out and wipe his hands off and greet you and say, hey, thanks for coming. No, you talk to a service writer or a service advisor, or whatever they want to call it. And the reason is because they're the liaison.
Right.
You know, you want to keep the mechanic turning wrenches. That's how they make money. Mm-hmm. And that's how the dealership makes money. But not only that, generally, and I'm speaking in generalities, and by the way, I used to be a mechanic as well, so I understand this. In generality, most mechanics, people that are really good at that part of the world, are not necessarily people skill persons. I mean, they can be
people.
Yeah, but that's just not. No, I mean, usually you have it because that position in an auto dealership or a power sports dealership, a service advisor position is basically almost like a sales position.
Yeah,
because you need people to have the same skills as a salesperson does, and that's kind of what you need in what I'm talking about, that coordinator position. You need somebody who's organized, but has some people skill, like almost you'd hire a salesperson to go in there and be that coordinator person. And if you need a couple of them, you need a couple of them, depending on how big your city or how much stuff you have going on, to coordinate all that. And they're the ones who make sure that information flows constantly. And they're the ones who go to the inspector and say, hey, look, whatever your name is, Frank, don't come back and forth and tell me three or four times. I want you to walk through this thing, and I need everything that we need to do. And they would be kind of quarterbacking it, if you would say, for better lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
yeah.
Just a thought.
But having that public point of contact or that contractor point of contact, somebody that's the front, they're the front-facing person, you know, that you're going to talk to.
Well, and generally the same thing goes with people that are good, like, say, a good carpenter. Once again, I'm being general here, a lot of good carpenters are good at framing the house or doing that, but they're not necessarily the person to go out and hee-haw and, hey, how you doing, and shake hands and all that.
Yeah.
So once again, you have so if you're dealing more with your contractor and your person from the city who's, and they're both people, like you said, I think you're going to have a better result as an outcome rather than a tradesman trying to go back and forth. When, you know, look, I'm not speaking out of turn here. It's very common in building sites and in the building trades that the plumbers don't like the electricians, and the electricians don't like the AC guys, and they might like each other, but everybody's pissed because somebody did something before I got there, and I have to go fix their thing, or they made it hard on my life, and that sort of thing. And that's just how that happens.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, you look at another side of that is when you get into the retail world. So often you encounter people who are that front-facing person, that customer service person. You know, they're on the cash register or they're on the sales floor or whatever. And they can barely have a conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, don't hire that person for those positions.
You just, you put, well, and I think, and especially in the retail sector, and I'm talking about, like, you know, the Walmarts, Targets, United Supermarkets, the HEBs, or what, you know, whoever of the world, the retailers of the world. Very often, you find yourself just trying to fill positions.
Yeah.
You're looking for warm bodies to fill a position, and you're not hiring for the skill set as much as you are just, we need somebody in that position. We need somebody on that cash register. We need somebody on that sales floor. We need whatever. And, you know, when that person's attitude and demeanor is probably better suited to being, I don't know, a night stalker, you know, or something like that. See, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying.
By the way, he said stalker, not stalker.
Stalker. No, not stalker.
Somebody who stalks shelves, not somebody that goes after you with a knife.
Yeah. So, but and all of this is defining our culture.
Well,
it relates back.
Go back to the define our culture. You know, what I think what the chamber and Trey, you probably know a little bit more on this than I do.
I was at the chamber meeting and we talked about it.
So their goal here is what is the culture of our city?
Right.
How is it evolving? Where is it headed? What are the next steps we need to take to move this city forward? Right. Is that kind of where they're going with this?
Very much. And what is Wichita Falls? What are we? And we're gonna. I've got a call into Ron Kitchens. We're gonna see about getting Ron Kitchens, the chamber of CEO, on as well.
I think that's awesome.
So I'm thinking though that it's an effort to identify in a proactive manner.
Exactly.
Not just, oh, by the way, a few people get together. Hey, what is the culture of Wichita Falls? We promote the city and we're promoting the wrong thing.
Right. No, this is going to be a large group of people. It's going to be a working group of people, and there's going to be some people involved that are monitoring it or facilitating it that are professionals.
Right. So that's what they do.
Speaking of United Market Street, by the way, United Market Street and Rainier Fruit collaborated and donated 1,000 pair of socks to Faith Mission.
Wow.
Oh. That is awesome.
It is.
And let me tell you something. That's one of those deals that I believe that if you're down on your luck and things are tough and you're needing handout or whatever it is, socks is a big thing.
Yeah, it's all relative.
Yeah, well, I know the gentleman who's in charge of the Faith Mission, I forget, his name just
Steve
is
Steve Sparks.
Yeah,
Steve he was Sparks. Just in here yesterday.
Yeah, Steve's a good guy. Yeah, he actually said that, you know, in the news thing that he put out, actually said that a lot of their people walk everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They're not driving. I mean, you know, if you're down on your luck and you're living out of the mission, you probably don't have a ride.
See
a lot of walking. Yeah. And, you know, when you're walking, you need good socks. I mean, ask anybody who ever served in Vietnam. Obviously, I didn't, but I knew a lot of people that our generation, the people that were relatives and things like that that served in Vietnam, and they said that one of the things you would never think about was socks.
Yeah.
Good socks and dry socks.
Getting holes in your socks, that's not good.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That was a big thing. Well, you know, hats off to them for doing that. That's fantastic that they're doing that. I want to go back up here just a moment to the TEA commissioner, Mike Morath, stopping in Wichita Falls. Because we've got two brand-new high schools that are slated to open in August here in Wichita Falls. I'm sure at least some of his visit was probably dedicated to taking a look at that. But he stopped by Southern Hills Elementary. Had noted that he was pleased with the district's improvements to the curriculum. I know, and I don't, Trey, I don't know if you can speak to this or not, but did they address Kirby at all? Because I know Kirby's been kind of a big sticking point for the Wichita Falls ISD with test scores and other issues.
It's been a school improvement. I don't know that they specifically, I mean, I wasn't at his conference, so I don't know if he specifically talked about Kirby in general, but he did talk about the amount of resources and time and effort that Wichita Falls ISD has put towards working on schools that are in school improvement or lagging in school improvement. And he praised the work of Donnie Lee, the superintendent, as far as getting the scores, the educational side of it going in a positive direction.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming Kirby was part of that. I don't know specifically. I wasn't there. But yes, that was one of the biggest things that he was addressing was that that's what would have been addressed in this thing was when you're talking about improvements in curriculum, Kirby would have been one of your big hitters. Now Kirby is going to actually move to Hershey
next year. Yes.
So,
and I you know, I there's a part of me that thinks, okay, maybe the change in physical location, change in atmosphere will help that. I know Hershey's going to, at least what I've heard is, Hershey's going to, or maybe is already undergoing some renovations.
Well, they will as soon as school starts.
To prepare for this. There's going to be some changes made over there, I guess, you know, and probably some things that probably have needed to be done for a while to that structure. It's one of the newer schools. Among the old schools in town, it's one of the newer schools.
Yeah, it was built in 1963.
Yeah, 63, yeah. Two or three, yeah. So, you know, it's one of the newer ones. But it's, I think it's going to be a good move for him to do that. Hopefully that does help somewhat. But I do have to say that I think a lot of what you see, everybody is really quick to look at public education and blame public education for all the failures in public education. Sometimes the failures don't rest on the system. It rests on the student and the parents.
Well, not sometime. Okay, not 100% of the time. A large majority of things, you cannot fix bad parenting.
No, you can't. You can't.
Or crazy kids. Now, there's not very many crazy kids out there, but there are a few. I mean, obviously, some people are just born with some screws loose. I mean, let's just get it fair. And I mean, generally, I don't mean people who have some, I'm not casting a wide net of somebody who has an intellectual disability or a learning disability or something. Right. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that are just nuts. You're Jeffrey Dahmers of the world and people like that. So you have a few of those people that exist in this world. Those are people that are screws loose.
Well, you figure if you
can't fix people like that, something they're screwed up really bad.
How many students does the ISD got, you think?
It's probably close to 1400 now. It's, you know, it used to be about 1600. I'd say between 1300 and 1400. I'm really close.
Total students?
I'm thousand. I said 400. Okay. I meant 1,000.
Yeah. I think Ryder's got 1400.
Yeah, no, Ryder's got more than that.
Oh, let's say you got 15,000 kids district wide.
It used to be 15,000. I think it's closer to 14,000 now.
Well, let's say they got 14,000. So you got 14,000 from K through 12. If you've got even 1,000 out of that 14,000 that are serious problems. Mm-hmm. Those 1,000 can suck up tons of resources, tons of time.
I got a whole, there's a whole other show here. I got a whole thing.
I imagine you have an opinion,
you know,
there too.
And so,
I have a huge opinion about it.
At some point, parents and students have to take responsibility
for
what is going on. Well, the parents, but you know, your student, okay, you know, up to a certain age, you know, you can spank their bottom, or you can put them in timeout, or you can, you know, send them to their room or whatever. Then you get to a point in life where you're a teenager.
That's true, yeah.
And now you as a teenager have to bear some responsibility. And I think this is where society on the whole maybe has kind of failed. So at some point, somewhere along the way, we stopped allowing young people to bear responsibility. We're so quick to say, well, they're a minor, they're a child. No, I'm sorry. At 15 years old, you're not a child. At 15 years old, you ought to have enough brains and enough sense to have some responsibility for your actions, to take some responsibility for your action, and to do some responsible things that are responsible in nature. And I think we're so quick to portray the teenager as... Maybe this goes back to that victimhood mentality thing. I don't know. But at some point, you've got to put the onus on that teenager to take responsibility for their behavior, their attitude toward the processes, their attitude about everything in general.
But they have to be taught that.
You got to start that at a young age.
The dots for them.
It starts at home, and unfortunately, the school has been, like I said, I could do an hour on this. We're not going to. Mm-hmm. But the school has been tasked with too many responsibilities these days.
Oh, I agree.
To take the roles of surrogate parents and things like that. Yes, parenting starts at home. Discipline starts at home. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody who who acts up in school has bad parenting. I'm not saying that, but a large majority
yes.
do. And if you if a kid goes to school and they're hungry, and here's the thing. Here's what pisses me off and drives me bonkers about this more than anything. There's parents who will send their kids to school and expect the school to provide all of their basic needs. Yeah. Even when the parent is getting free stuff.
Yes.
The fact of the matter is, if your kid is getting free lunch and free this and free that at school, you're probably getting food stamps or free stuff at home. Why the hell can you not spend some time to prepare it all? And don't give me this bullshit about the single mother who's working five jobs to make ends meet. That does happen. That is way the exception rather than the rule.
Well,
the rule generally is there's people sitting at home who can't be bothered to take care of their kids' basic needs, even when we've given you the food.
You have a personal understanding of that single parent.
You damn right I did. I was a single parent.
You were a single parent for a number of years.
Yes, 9 years.
And raising a daughter, nonetheless, yep. which, you know, as a single dad, you talk about challenging.
Yeah, that's, in the 90s, too. It wasn't like it was now. But it was fine. But the fact is, it was my responsibility to make sure that she got to school. It was my responsibility to make sure she got fed. It was my responsibility to make sure, not somebody else's. It wasn't the state's responsibility or somebody else's responsibility. And look, I know that there are people that have that hardship. But what pisses me off is when people always want to go to that extreme example. It's like homeless. Oh, everybody who's homeless, the face of homeless is the single, once again, it's always the single mom for some reason, which I know there's a lot more single moms who lost their job at the factory and the factory shut down or whatever. Okay, everybody who's sitting at this table here, I'll stop in a second. Everybody who's sitting at this table right here, if you woke up tomorrow mm-hmm. and everything you had was gone, mm-hmm. your family, your wife, your house, your business, every nickel you had was vanished suddenly. Do you think any of us would be sleeping on the streets?
No.
How many people would come to call you and say, hey, come stay at my house? No. We would all go crash in somebody's guest room, somebody's couch and stuff like that because we've never burned everybody we've had. Mm-hmm. Generally, the people that are on the streets, generally there's mental health issues, mm-hmm. generally mm-hmm. mental health issues, drug addiction issues, mm-hmm. or somebody who's burned everybody in their orbit.
Well, it's like they burn bridges. Like I've had people come up to me wanting a donation, a handout, and you say, "Well, why don't you go to, like the Faith Mission or something?" And they go, "Well, I can't. I'm banned."
Yeah.
Because
our rules are so strict at the Faith Mission. Yeah, you can't start fights, you can't drink, or you can't do drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. So let's stop the BS and get back to a real conversation. Yeah. I get that. There are those exceptions out there. There are the single mom who's working three jobs to support the kids. I get that. That does happen. And I have empathy for that person, and I'm willing to go to the ends of the earth to help that person. But the person who's sitting on their lazy ass at the house and can't be bothered to get out, got a car in the driveway, got a cell phone, fucking cell phone.
It's an Obama phone.
Got a cell phone, but you're not responsible for getting your kid to school, and you get a Lone Star card or whatever, but you're not responsible. You know, boil your kids a couple eggs and get some toast. Feed your kids breakfast before they leave the house. Get your ass up and do that. And there's so many people, we got the exceptions, but there's so many people who are unwilling to do that.
Well, we've as a society, we've come to just accept certain things because we don't want to offend somebody. We don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. We don't want to, whatever. Okay, we got to get over that.
Absolutely.
We got to get over that. And guys, so many parents treat that school is just a glorified babysitter.
It's it.
It's a place to go drop that kid off for 8 or 10 hours
that's
a day.
That's not what it's supposed to be.
And get
that's
them out
not
of their
what
hair.
For.
That's not what it's for. That's not what it should
school,
be for.
School is to help educate your child. You have experts. And by the way, let me tell you something. I once again, it's like everybody else, like you can say with police and everything like that. There's some bad eggs, but for the most part, most of the people that are in that school, in those school districts, most people that go into education are good people. They're damn good people.
Yeah.
And they have a passion for what they're doing. They're not doing it to get rich. They're not doing it for the fame or the fortune. They're doing it because they have a passion for what they're doing, and they're good at it. And so that's what they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be there to help educate your kid on the critical thinking skills and the higher level skills that maybe you don't have the time or the energy to do. But they're not supposed to teach your kid how to be human beings.
No.
That's your job as a parent.
There's a lot of failures you could point to in education. You know, we spent way too much time trying to teach kids how to be really good at taking a test rather than, you know, teaching some other skill sets and other things that they probably needed. But at the same time, though, so much of what is going on in education has been geared toward being the surrogate parent.
Yeah. Well, it's the time. It's the resources. And like I said, I have a whole theory, and we'll talk about that in another show.
Yeah.
I have a whole theory about, once again, if I was king, I'd only be king for a long time. For one day, it'd be probably fine. And I could make about four or five changes that I think that would make significant changes in the things that I know a lot about. I know quite a bit about education. I'm not an expert at it, but I know more than the average person, right? Yeah. And so there's a couple of little things that we could do. It would require sacrifice. It would require hurting people's feelings a little bit. A few people, not most people. And in the end, you're going to get a better result. You got to crack it. Sometimes you got to break a few eggs to make the omelet.
Yeah, sure do.
And the eggs you're breaking are quite frankly not the best eggs. Well, they're kind of those ones that have kind of gone on the turn a little bit. Maybe they're, you know, stink a little bit anyhow. So, yeah, I know
little,
we got to go.
A little purple, you know.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. All right, guys, we got to wrap it up. We're out of time. Guys, thank you for joining us for this episode of Get It Right Texoma with myself, Mike Hendren, Terry McAdams, Trey Cirillo. We will see you next time. Get us on, of course, obviously if you're watching on YouTube, but we're on YouTube, we're on Spotify, we're out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Facebook as well. Like, share, comment. We want to hear your feedback. Until next time, take care. We'll see you down the road, kids.